Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland. Thank you for coming back to the channel. Well, the Archbishop of Canterbury tendered his resignation today. I thought he was going to resign, but not so soon. Once it becomes apparent somebody is going to resign, then he or she tends to go quite quickly. So Justin Welby has held the office for 11 years. And over the past couple of centuries, the Archbishop of Canterbury has served for a rough average of 10 years. So, him having been appointed, I think, in March 2013, 11 and a half years, it was about time he stood down anyway, but he's going a bit sooner than one might have anticipated. I don't think any retirement date had been set. He is 70, so it's not really premature. Now, was it Cathy Newman's Channel 4 News interview with him that felled him? Possibly. But a bishop of the Church of England called for the Archbishop of Canterbury to tender his resignation. Indeed, he's done so, and a petition got going in the synod, which is like the parliament of the Anglican Church, for him to step aside, and he's duly fallen his sword. That's because he mishandled this whole issue. It's all to do with the late John Smythe, because there were the Ewan holidays for public schoolboys, and I was invited to go on one, though I never actually went on one. Ewan spelled I-W-E-R-N-E. It's somewhere in Dorset. And for almost 100 years, they'd organised in the school holidays, particularly in the summer, boys who went to the top 20 or so public schools, like Eton and Winchester, to go there. And it was a summer camp with a Christian theme that they do fun activities, sports or whatever. Not too competitive about the sports, but there would be a Bible study. They would pray together in the morning and the evening and so on. And I'm not sure whatever. Religious quizzes are meant to be a Christian atmosphere, because I was a fervent Christian at the time, going to the Paley Society at school, as they named in honor of William Paley, he of the watchmaker paradigm, the blind watchmaker, as Professor Richard Dawkins would have us now believe. And these were organized certainly from the 1920s, and I can't remember that Anglican clergyman, Bash Nash, who got them going. Bash wasn't actually his name. And from the early 1970s to about 1984, John Smythe was very involved. He was a Canadian-born barrister, and he lived in Winchester, and he had connections with Winchester College, though he was not a Wickhamist himself. And the school welcomed him. He seemed a very respectable person. He was a Queen's Counsel. He was some sort of judge at a lower level. I can't remember whether civil division or criminal division. So he seemed to be a very respectable person, and he was a fervent Anglican. And those that there was his days of automatic deference and trust in religious people, trust which was obviously very badly misplaced. Just because someone pretends to be religious, or indeed is sincerely religious, no, that doesn't automatically guarantee this person is good or certainly safe with children. They might be totally safe, they might not be. But back then, there was just this unquestioning assumption that anybody who shows religiosity is therefore someone whom we can place confidence with and we can put in charge of children. So he used to help out on these UN holidays, and he would ask boys questions about their faith, about their behavior, their sexual desires and behavior. And if they admitted they sinned, they say, well, you're going to be purged of this sin. Bring them to some shed where he had a cane them on the bare buttocks very severely till they bled like a lot, and go back for repeated canings every day and things like that. And this is going on to 1984. Winchester College became aware of this. Now, this is an epoch in which corporal punishment was lawful in schools, in state schools, and in independent schools. It was outlawed in state schools in the United Kingdom in the early 1980s. It wasn't outlawed in independent schools till 1998, by which time, of their own volition, almost every independent school had scrapped it. Eton banned it in about 1983. So what he was doing, you'd say, in principle, it was actually allowed by law at the time. But the thing is, he wasn't a teacher, and he was not in loco parentis. And apparently he would say, well, this is going to be consensual. You admit you sinned. Yes, you need to be purged of your sins, purified by pain. Do you acknowledge that you need to be punished? Better be punished here on earth than in heaven, and that will get the devil out of you, and then you'll be all right with God. And the boy would agree. Was that really a free choice? And obviously, he doesn't have capacity to agree. such a person is not seen as compos mentis because he's a minor. He was doing this to boys as young as 13, and they were 17. Many people would say this was manipulative. He would misuse the gospel for this. But actually, the Old Testament does say, you know, spare the rod and spoil the child. Spare not the rod, as in the stick with which to hit people. So it was unlawful even at the time. And this was not for the purpose of educational discipline or something like that, presumably to satisfy his own perverse urges. It was for his own sexual delectation. So such perverse gratification is surely an insufficient ground to justify doing that, even as the law stood at the time. So by 1984, Winchester was cognizant of this. Some Anglican bishops had been informed, and then the Ewan Trust, they severed ties with him. And Winchester College said to Mr. Smythe, do not contact our boys ever again. Goodbye. And the heat was such that Mr. Smythe, turned tail and emigrated. He moved to Zimbabwe. Of course, the Zimbabwean conflict had ended only 4 years earlier, but it was a very easy bolt hole for British people at the time. I'm not sure if he practiced law there or not, because he was in his early 60s. Remember, people retired younger in those days. They died younger as well. And he lived there for quite some years, where he threw himself into Anglican activities. But his bad reputation didn't follow him, despite the Anglican communion. This is long before the internet. International phone calls were very, very expensive. And presumably, people just thought, oh, well, we can repose confidence in him because he's a pillar of the establishment. He's a barrister, must be a thoroughly good egg. And, well, he's fervently religious. Well, that simply proves he's morally upstanding. And he had his activities going with her again, but he abused children as well. Was it for sexual gratification? Was it sadism? Sexual as such doesn't seem to have gone on, as in touching their genitals or something, thankfully. But I mean, beating them is bad enough. So this was child abuse. There's no two ways about it. Even permissible caning by the laws of the time, this went well beyond that and was not for infractions of the rules. Was it religious mania? Did he even believe what he was doing? Maybe it wasn't for personal gratification. Even if it is for a religious mania, it's still totally unacceptable. And he moved to South Africa, where he's part of the homophobic movement there. So he died in 2018, never having been charged with any crime. But Justin Welby knew him on these UN camps as a teenager. What was I going to say? But he was about an adult then, because Welby would have left school about 1973, which is about the time that Mr. Smythe got involved with the UN Trust. And the UN Trust doesn't do holidays like that anymore. Not to say that anybody else in the UN wasn't doing anything wrong. So far as I know, they're all innocent as lambs. One thing is, maybe if they didn't commit the abuse themselves, they didn't report it. I mean, properly, okay, told that some Anglican bishops. The attitude at the time was to brush under the carpet. The church mustn't be left with egg on its face, because otherwise this undermines public trust and respect for the church. We can't have it put brought into disrepute. Protecting the reputation of the organization was considered far more important than protecting children. And that was just a classic and reflexive reaction of organizations, particularly religious bodies in those days. So this is why Welby has stood aside. He said he knew Mr. Smythe, he had no reason to suspect him, and he exchanged Christmas cards and things with him and things like that. So the church didn't take decisive action. Mr. Smythe died in 2018. So Justin Welby said he was told, when he found out years later about what Smythe had been up to, that the police had already been informed, and he thought that they would deal with this. But anyway, Mr. Welby has spoken at how embarrassed he is at how the church letting people down very badly. That's it. He was also sort of head of the Anglican communion, 85 million Anglicans. They're in almost every country in the world. So the Church of England is much better at safeguarding than it was. The whole of society is. I mean, society's sort of got a bee in its bonnet about this, is more or less fixated about this. You hear about it on the news almost every day, all these safeguarding courses I have to do. That's it. So there were many victims. So there were about 30 victims. They say that in South Africa and Zimbabwe, it was even more. There were up to 100 of them. And so that's quite staggering and horrific. So he lived out his life in comfort in Cape Town, John Smythe, and he never faced trial for what he'd done. So that's it. I mean, a somewhat successful bishop, archbishop, with Justin Welby, but he failed to take a moral stand on important issues. Letting children down, well, I'm not surprised. He doesn't speak up for children in utero. He doesn't defend them. He's completely pathetic on that one, when he should use his voice, show a tiny bit of courage to speak up for the defenseless and save them from violence. Thank you for watching my video. I don't know what's going to happen in the interim, because it's about a 6-month process to select a new one. I remember in 2002 hearing the rumors there's going to be Rowan Williams in the press, and the Reverend Father David Johnson said, well, these rumors could be by people who are trying to destroy his chances. So I have no idea who'll be next. I really wouldn't be surprised if it was a non-white person or a woman. The Church of England would like to show that they're very with it. They're very on the side of BLM and so on, and Me Too. Thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, George Callahan 79@gmail.com. Goodbye.